Welcome to our Ash Wednesday service of worship. Would you please stand? We're gathered in the presence of God, who asks us to choose between life and death, blessing and curse.
We're gathered like the people of Israel, who were challenged to choose the way of life.
Like them, we often follow the ways of death. By your presence here, we are saying that we want to choose life one more time. Let us praise the God of love and life who has called us to this place. Amen. Gracious God and Lord of all, we gather in your name and invoke your presence. Surround us with your steadfast love in order that we may no longer hide in fear. We are all too aware of the sins that ensnare us while promising us life, are the tempest traps that lead us away. We know that your grace is more than abundant for our sin. Rain down upon us with the mighty waters of your grace. May we be sheltered under your arm and preserved in your love. Bless us as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Our hymn of consecration is number 125, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We'll do the first two stanzas. Our litany of confession will be found on the back of your program. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to your God. I know well my misdeeds and my sin is ever before me. Let us ask God to break forth light into the dark places of our hearts and confront us with our hidden and secret sins, all that we keep in the dark.
O God, open our hearts.
Our preoccupation with ourselves.
O God, open our hearts.
Our lustful imaginations, our secret ambitions.
O God, open our hearts.
The buried grudge, the half-acknowledged enmity. The bitterness of some past loss not yet offered to you.
O God, open our hearts.
The private comforts to which we cling.
O God, open our hearts.
The fear of failure that saps our initiative.
O God, open our hearts.
The pessimism that is an insult to your will and power.
O God, open our hearts.
Here and there,
O Holy One,
we bring our secret sins to you.
We lie open in your sight.
Let your piercing light
also our healing.
For the sake of Jesus Christ,
who both taught us and brought us your forgiveness. Amen.
You may be seated. Our next selection is number 89, Jesus Has Paid It All. The first two stanzas, please. Our scripture lesson, Ezekiel 9, 1 through 6. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, "Bring near those who are appointed to execute judgment on the city, each with a weapon in his hand." And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. And now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of the temple. Then the Lord called to the men clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side. And he said, "Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over the detestable things that are done in it." As I listened, he said to the others, "Follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter the old men, the young men and women, the mother and mothers and children. But do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the old men who were in front of the temple. This is the word of God. Our next musical selection is number 145, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, make us sensitive to sin, that when we see it, we hate it, and we grieve over it, and we live accordingly. Amen. Not as sure of myself as I was in my younger days. Now, I find that if I'm going somewhere for the first time, it helps to add a little more time to my estimated time of arrival, most likely, and just in case, I get lost. Have you ever been headed in one direction but found yourself turned around? And you don't recognize it until you see the lumber yard you'd seen on the right side of the road suddenly reappear 20 minutes later on the left side. See, on my way to Mississippi, a GPS will insist that I take I-35 to 20 by way of Dallas. Well, you don't need a GPS to tell you that. In reality, the shortest way to I-20 from Austin is to take Highway 31 at Waco. And a few months ago, a couple of friends of mine asked for those directions. Easy peasy. Follow the Highway 31 East signs, give or take a bypass or two, which I emphatically pointed out. Now, they were so comfortable with this information, they just kept driving along swimmingly until one of them said, didn't we pass that John Deere tractor dealership a while back? But they did have the common sense to turn around. See, something is very wrong in a country when it's heading the wrong way. Some people say, hey, we've been here years before and it didn't end well then. We need to check ourselves or we'll go off course. Others say, take a chance. Things aren't going the way we think they ought to. We need a change. And so those restless few throw caution to the wind and vote to make a choice that has already been detrimental to our democracy. And the opposing majority are so sure that these fidgety few will come to their senses, they don't vote at all. And as a result, the aggressive few take control while the complacent majority ponder the error of their inaction. See, a parent can speak to their young adult. Honey, I've seen this before. And it ends badly time and time again. You may think you know where you're going, but taking that action can set you on a path that takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you there longer than you ever intended to stay. And you might not be able to turn around because some people are pulling you and others are pushing you. Either way, you're out of control. History tells a story, but people just don't listen. They blow off history as if it has nothing to teach them. See, over and over, the Jews were warned of God's impending judgment. Many of the people didn't get it until they saw that John Deere tractor dealership on the other side of the road. But by then, they were too far gone to turn around. When God showed Ezekiel the decay and idolatry of Israel, Ezekiel knew what was about to go down. The Lord sent countless prophets to warn his people of the danger they were in, but they didn't listen. In fact, they became even more perverse. Israel had tried to bluff the Lord one too many times, and God was ready to call their bluff. Nebuchadnezzar and his army were moving in on Jerusalem, but God got there first. In his vision, Ezekiel watched as the Lord called forth his angels who had charge over the city. This was God's SWAT team. Six angels with weapons of mass destruction and a seventh angel dressed in priestly white linen with riding implements at his side. And here are God's instructions. March through the city per my judgment and put a mark on the foreheads of those I have judged righteous. Those who are horrified over all the detestable things that the Jews have done in Jerusalem. Now that's good news for God's chosen remnant, but not so much for the cocky idolaters of Israel. For them, this is a horror story that is not going to end well. And God said, I've withdrawn my glory from the temple, from the most high place in the temple, and positioned it at the opening of the temple, which is just a common place. Judgment was at hand. And Ezekiel knew that because he heard God say to the six angels with weapons, follow the one in the white linen. Go through the city and kill without showing mercy or compassion. Slaughter the old men, the young men and women, the mothers and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the old men who were in front of the temple. Did you catch that? Start with those arrogant Jewish officials who so proudly paraded themselves to the front of the temple. But did you catch this? Don't touch anyone who has the mark. The Lord protects his remnant. The Lord shields his remnant from the invasion of Babylon. They wouldn't be judged for their crimes, not because they were without sin, but because they were chosen for salvation. The remnant were those who had broken hearts over the idolatry and the wickedness of the city. God knows how to mark and identify the righteous. And the Lord starts at his house, the church, from the clergy to the last person who joined. No matter what's going on in this country, no matter how crazy or scary things become, the Lord first holds those who profess to be believers accountable. If the Lord can't trust us to be true to the Christian standard, why are we pointing a finger at those who couldn't care less about right or wrong, or who gets trampled underfoot in the path of their wickedness? It is in the church that God should be most honored and his holiness held high and lifted up. If you can't pick Christians out of the lineup of a mixed batch in the sanctuary, we've got more than an outreach problem. But be encouraged. Ezekiel was encouraged because all Israel had not strayed from God. We must give account of our conduct to God. God delights in a worthwhile and fruitful life. And those of us who receive the mark should fall to our knees in renewed repentance and thanksgiving. For judgment is on the move for the righteous as well as the unrighteous. I do so much want to know when the turmoil in this country will ease up. But it appears that big, gigantic, healthy lies overshadow the truth. So what difference does my little mark make? How can we, who are sealed, stop this runaway train? And how long will it take? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. addressed the crowd at the end of the Selma to Montgomery march to say, I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, darken their understanding, and drive bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne? Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lie in prostrate in the cities, in the streets of Selma and Birmingham and communities all over the South, be lifted from the dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of God? How long will justice be crucified and truth buried? How long? Not long, because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long, because you reap what you sow. How long? Not long, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch over his own. How long? Not long, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. How long? Not long, because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Dr. King had a clear vision that Jesus is the bearer of truth. In just a matter of time, my friends, injustice will be judged. But I want to bear the seal. Being sealed doesn't mean I'll survive the present chaos with no scars. Being sealed does not mean that I may not lose my life in the process of God's judgment. After all, death was the price Jesus paid to secure my soul from eternal damnation. Being sealed means that I am protected because I have moved into the realm of eternity. And no one can destroy my salvation. Some of those sealed will be the remnant that remain to show how God is able to help us overcome. The universal church will always overcome. It is protected by the seal, and that seal is Jesus the Christ. When a sinner repents and comes to know Christ, there's a physical change. God places a new heart in that person. Love, joy, peace, and compassion fill that heart to the brim, to overflowing. That person's personality will change. That person's speech will change. That person's desires will change. Darkness is replaced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the person who has the fellowship of the Spirit of God is deemed righteous by the Savior's blood. God's judgment is the unfolding. The Lord keeps his carpet of mercy and wrath to be laid out only at his unfurling. And when we see the rapid decline of morals and virtues being defiled in our midst, we may pray that God will roll out his rug of judgment. But amid the torrent of injustice and wrongdoing, remember, it rains on the just and the unjust. And the only difference is whether we're sealed and stand under the umbrella of God's mercy. On which side of God's judgment do you choose to be? I want to be on the faithful side, because that's where the sealed will be in service. I want to be where we're compelled to turn away from sin, where we are duty bound to share the gospel, where we are constrained by the mercies of God to reach out in love to a struggling brother or sister. None of us can stand apart from God's grace. God is faithful and supremely patient with us sinners, but don't get it twisted. God is not mocked, nor will God allow his grace to be trampled underfoot. God will not tolerate rebellion forever. This passage of scripture is brutal and violent, but God is filled with loving kindness, and as children of faith through Jesus Christ, through the waters of baptism, we have God's identifying marks on our souls. Our sins have been forgiven, and we stand in the shadow of the cross. And what we have is the deposit of the Holy Spirit, so that we need have no fear of being condemned with the unbelieving. We live in humility and gratefulness and daily repentance, for we have been marked by God for his purpose. And that's good news in a world of bad news. The mark of Ash Wednesday is the hope of the seal. It calls us to repentance and renewal. Receive it in prayer and sacrifice. It's a reflection of our morality. We're only here for a short period of time. Nothing compares to the glory of eternity. So embrace the forgiveness of the cross. Amen. And now, the prayers of the people. You may say your prayers quietly to yourself, or whisper them, or say them out loud. But at this time, let us have the prayers of the people. Amen. Now we bless the ashes. Almighty and everlasting God, who created us from the dust of the earth, we pray that these ashes may be to us a sign of our morality and impenitence. Bless those ashes so that we may remember that is because of your grace extended to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we are given eternal life. Amen. Ushers. As we prepare for our benediction, remember, we exit in silence with only the word of God in our hearts. Please remember others. Be true to God and be worthy of these ashes. Let us bow. Happy are those whose sins are covered, whose transgressions are forgiven. For great is the free gift of grace, and great is the love that surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Receive then this gift of grace and walk in the way of love. Amen.